In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. And we are now studying the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13. And the last time, we were facing the story of washing the feet of the disciples. And then the Lord, after washing their feet, he mentioned that someone will betray him, one of the disciples. So Saint Peter asked Saint John to ask the Lord about the name of this disciple. So now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, Simon. Peter therefore mentioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is this? So because St. John the Evangelist, he is the writer of the Gospel. So it was his story. That's why he mentioned this in details, that he asked back the Lord, saying, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it's he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. You know, they all expected that the Lord will mention just a name, one name of the 12. But because the Lord is full of love, his heart is full of love, and he respected the will of everyone, he did not mention Judas' name by name to give him a chance to repent, to think it again, to pray. So he just mentioned that we like friends, and he is very special for me. That's why he made it this way. It's he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. So this movement, you know, declare how much love or friendship between the two. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So doing this, you know, made the disciples, you know, they couldn't understand the story. Is he speaking about a betrayal or like a friend, or there is kind of a secret message in whatever is happening now? So they couldn't even accuse Judas that he is the one who will betray him, because the action by itself is like an action of love. It's an action of friendship. It will never be an action of accusation. So they couldn't receive the meaning. Jesus answered, it's he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. So, you know, the Holy Spirit mentioned that Satan could enter the heart of Judas Iscariot because he refused totally all the expressions of love of the Lord. He refused the full love of washing his feet. He refused to accept his love by dipping the bread and giving it to him. So like a very close friend. So when someone refused the expressions of love of God, many times will be an easy place for devil to settle in. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Again, he did not say, go and betray me. Go and take the money you love. But he said it again in a very, very respectful way. What you do, do quickly, as if the Lord himself is ready for dying, to be killed on the cross, is ready for the suffering, is ready to give himself as a sacrifice for all the world. Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. Again, they couldn't get the meaning. That's because of their pure heart, they were clean in their heart. They were very innocent. They couldn't imagine that Judas Iscariot will really betray the Lord. No one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So, because many times the Lord spoke in a parables way, in a symbolic way, they imagine that there is like a secret message. Maybe he mentioned some money related to the poor, because Judas Iscariot was like the man responsible for the box of the donations, so they couldn't accuse him. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. Yes, it was night, because the darkness was not outside, but was inside the heart of Judas. So it was the night, and Judas' life ended in darkness forever, because he refused totally the love of God, and he insisted to go all the way to betray the Lord. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified. Now means the hour. And the hour is coming soon, and the Lord will be glorified. And his glorification is not just by praising from heaven, by the angels, but when he will be crucified, that's the glory of God, because he gave his love to everyone. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. So the glorification is always related to suffering. It's not related to the crowns of this age, to the money, to the titles. It's always in God's mind related to suffering, because the suffering is always the expression of real love. So Christ is ready to suffer for everyone and to die for everyone. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. So he will not be glorified only on the cross, but he will rather be glorified in resurrection, because by conquering death, he will be much more glorified. And also after this, with the ascension to heaven, he will be glorified forever. So we are starting now the steps of glorification. He will be glorified at the real sacrifice for human beings. Then he will be glorified by killing death by his resurrection. And lastly, he will take our human nature to heaven through his ascension. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you. So it's a little while, because he will be killed soon. And he mentioned this many times to the Jews, that he will not stay long on earth, and his hour is coming soon. So he's telling all the disciples, it came already. It's the last day before his death. It's just a few hours before crucifixion. So, little children, I will be with you a little while longer. Saying little children because he is like a father among his children. And he is like saying, I'm going now. So at this critical minute, he wanted to show his love. He wanted to give his advices, his commandments, the last commandments before his death. Where I'm going, you cannot come, because you cannot pass through this very tough way of death, because he is the Redeemer, and no one can share in the redemption. It's only him, the God incarnate, the Son of Man. He is the Redeemer, the Savior, and no one can share in this minute but only God Himself. But they will follow Him after. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So they felt like He's telling the last sentences. So they were very much sad, and they were alert listening to Him. They felt like He is finishing everything. So He is giving them the last commandment. And it was not new, because many times He mentioned that you should love each other. He is mentioning the same commandment again, saying, a new commandment I give to you. You love one another as I have loved you. What's new in this? The new thing in this commandment, that you will see the cross. You will see the full expression of loving people. You may love people up to die for them, as exactly what the Lord had done for everyone. So that's the new commandment. You not only will love people like you love yourself, but you love people as He loved us with the cross. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So it's like the sign of Christians. The first sign, maybe the only sign of being real Christian, is that we love everyone, we love one another. Because sometimes we Christians have many rituals, we go to the church, we have many important things in Christian life, but the first thing we should focus upon, that we love each other. And this love is expressed fully on the cross. So we need to love each other like exactly the way Christ Himself loved each one of us. And He endured everything for us. He accepted even the betrayal. He kept His love for all His people. And He took all the hard way in order to save them. Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me. You cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards." And that's exactly what happened a few hours later, that, you know, Peter could not follow the Lord. Although he felt like, "I can follow you, I will never leave you, I will stay just beside you." That's the feeling of Peter, but you know, he couldn't do it. That's why the Lord told him that this will happen. You cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterwards. So it was like an encouragement that one day you will follow me. You will be the right disciples, but not this night. You cannot follow me today. Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." You know, because he felt like the Lord is going to die, he offered himself as a sacrifice. He really loved the Lord. He was faithful when he said it this way, but he was not, you know, up to this. He couldn't do it. So the feeling was honest, but the will was not there. And this happens many times with us, that we promise God, but we fail to do the promise. Because we feel good, but when it comes to action, we cannot do the promise. And the Lord understands our feeling and our will. That's why He always knew what will happen. Peter said to Him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." So the Lord gave him a sign that you will deny me three times, two nights, after a few hours. And you know, knowing this, I thought that Saint Peter should stay alert because he did not tell him that it will happen after 1 month or few days. This will happen just in the same night after a few hours. So I thought he can stick to this and, you know, stay alert. That's exactly what happened with us. Sometimes we are ready to do good things, and just a few hours later, we like fail to do the promise or to keep the passion in our heart. So the sign is always there, and there are many signs in our life that the Lord himself saying, you know, you are not up to the promise. I know you love me, but you cannot love me fully like I love you. So don't give, you know, strong promises, and you knew yourself that you cannot do it. Starting chapter 14, we are still in the third day of the Last Supper, and now after washing the feet of the disciples, Judas Iscariot left, and now there are only the 11 disciples staying with the Lord, and he's starting to give them some more secrets about the coming hours, about the meaning of his crucifixion, about the glorification happening with the redemption, about the Holy Spirit dwelling in their hearts at the gift of the redemption. So he is giving them the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, especially after Judas Iscariot left the group. Let not your heart be troubled, because they felt troubled with the idea of the cross and you know, the suffering. They felt troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So it's an important advice. Let not your heart be troubled. Whatever the troubles around you, do not accept the troubles in your heart. Keep the troubles away from your heart, because you believe in God. He is the Almighty God. He is the loving God. He knows everything, and he's always doing the best for his beloved people. So do not let your heart be troubled. Try to keep the peace of God even in hard time, even when it is very dark, it's the night of the cross. But still, you need to keep the peace. In my Father's house are many mansions. So he started to speak about the future kingdom of heaven, that the mercy of God is eternal, is unlimited. So God's heart is unlimited. And in my Father's house are many mansions. So there are many places for everyone. And for all those who will repent, they will be accepted in the kingdom of heaven. As if he's telling them, don't go the way of Judas Iscariot, because he will refute the repentance. He will believe that there is no mansion for him after what he had done. But for you, even doubting in me, even failing to do the promises, still in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So as if he is, you know, saying, I'm sure of what I'm saying. There are many mansions for everyone, even for those who are doubting the truth or doing bad things. But with repentance and believing in God, they can come back to their places. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So, mentioning many mansions, he mentioned the kingdom of heaven. And also, he said it clearly that I'm going to prepare a place for you. So, he's not saying I'm going to die as if death is the end of the story. No, he's by death, by dying on the cross, he is going somewhere else. He is going to the place of eternity. He is preparing the kingdom of heaven to everyone. So that's the way for the eternal life. It's not the end of the story, it's rather the beginning of the story. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So he's giving them the promise of his second coming to make sure that he will stay alive. And death can never conquer God, but God can conquer death for his people. Glory to God. Amen.